Phil Lacavara, with your distinguished career, you were counsel to the Watergate Special Prosecutor, Deputy Solicitor General of the United States, former president of the Washington, D.C. Bar. Now, tell us a little bit about Merrick Garland. Here he is being nominated by the president, you know, with a sort of distinguished career behind him. Tell us about the politics of this situation.
Well, that's what it really comes to, politics. If one rolled back the clock 50 years or so and Merrick Garland had been nominated by the president, there'd be no doubt that his confirmation would already have taken place. But it isn't 1956 or even 1966. It's 2016, and the politics of the Supreme Court has changed dramatically. Garland is a very highly respected judge on the intermediate federal appellate court, the United States Court of Appeals in Washington. By virtue of having his length of service, he's the chief judge. That's a post that comes about automatically by the length of the person's service. If he's served longer than anybody else on the court who's under 70, he becomes the chief judge. So he's been the chief judge there. He's been on the court since the mid-1990s, appointed by Bill Clinton, and is generally regarded as a very thoughtful, careful, fair-minded, and straightforward judge. One of the things that's most remarkable about him that really contrasts him with some of the current justices who had also been on the D.C. Circuit, including John Roberts, former Justice Scalia, Justice Ginsburg, is that he rarely dissents. So he seems to be either a consensus builder or a consensus capitulator, in the sense that he doesn't feel strongly enough about decisions where he may be outvoted to bother writing a dissent. Obviously very smart, but the problem is he's being appointed or being nominated by an outgoing president. Judge Garland's, I shouldn't refer to him by his first name.
But it does indicate that you know him.
Yes, well, I was in Washington actively practicing when he was also practicing law. His mentor, Jamie Gorelick, who was the deputy attorney general in the Clinton administration, is a friend of mine. She was the president of the bar a year or two after me. So we traveled in the same circles. But I would say that his background is one that gives Republicans some pause, not because he's not otherwise a capable judge, but his background and his likely inclinations on controversial policy issues are ones that Republicans or conservatives would be somewhat suspect of.
Sure.
Put aside the fact that he went to Harvard Law School, that doesn't mean too much standing alone, but he acknowledges that one of his earliest mentors was Judge Abner Mikva, former Democratic congressman from Illinois, which is where Garland is from. He had worked closely with Mikva in screening Mikva's law clerks while Garland was still in private practice. And Judge Mikva, for those of your listeners who may not know, was one of the most liberal judges ever to serve on the federal bench. He himself was ultimately the chief judge of the United States Court of Appeals in Washington, having been appointed to the court from his role as a congressman. In addition, Garland clerked for Justice Brennan. Everyone is familiar with Justice Brennan and his controversial background. He was identified by President Eisenhower, who appointed him to the court, as one of his two biggest mistakes in Eisenhower's view, because he turned out to be so liberal. The other mistake, Eisenhower commented, was Earl Warren, who also was not exactly what Eisenhower thought when he appointed him. So you put Garland's background and his work in the Clinton Justice Department in the context of a highly charged political process, and you can see why Republicans are trying to stall this nomination to see what happens in November.
So the argument, as you point out, is that the president is, you know, in the end of his term, but a year, over a year left, don't you think it's a little spurious? And Phil, let me ask you this. Don't you think that the Republicans are making a mistake because if Hillary Clinton gets elected president, and right now it looks like she will, they're going to get worse than Garland?
Yeah, there are two issues that your question raises, Alan. One is whether the opposition to him is spurious, and it is certainly politically motivated, but it's a bipartisan political motivation, if you will. What the Republicans cite to is the fact that the last time there had been a candidate actually confirmed for the Supreme Court when a vacancy arose in the election year was about 70 years ago. Now, that's not terribly important. History doesn't always answer all the questions. But they point to what the so-called Biden rule. In 1992, Joe Biden, who was then the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, gave a speech on the Senate floor, and it's really interesting to listen to. That 1992 was, of course, the end of the George H.W. Bush presidency, and he was running for re-election. Biden gave a speech on the Senate floor in which he said explicitly that if a vacancy were to occur in 1992, President Bush should not attempt to nominate a candidate. Rather, no candidate should be nominated until after the election. And this set the stage for the, if you will, the approach that was taken by the Republicans when the Scalia vacancy occurred, saying, we have a presidential election coming up. The appointments to the Supreme Court are lifetime appointments. Even though President Obama is still in office, what we should be looking to as a matter of political science policy is an opportunity for the new president to reflect the national consensus, the current national consensus, as it will be demonstrated in the national election.
Okay, but Phil, let me interrupt you because we only have a minute and a half left. But I have a different question. My question is politically, in terms of the allocation of scarce resources, in other words, who gets to the court, aren't they being dumb? Aren't they going to get much worse by taking this clearly political position? And by the way, there's a lot of talk about Biden, but we can leave that, forget it. But what about that? Aren't they making a mistake?
Well, yes and no. The reason why they may not be making a mistake is they have the option, if the election goes to Hillary Clinton in November, of convening to confirm Garland. That is, the president will not, I assume, will not have withdrawn his nomination. So if Hillary Clinton is elected in November, the Senate can confirm his nomination at that point rather than take the risk that Hillary Clinton would withdraw the nomination and appoint somebody even less palatable, something that could be a realistic possibility if the margin of Republican control in the Senate changes in the November election,
sure,
or even gets switched over to the Democratic side. So the Republicans do have this potential backup safety valve of confirming them if Hillary Clinton gets elected.
Well, Phil Lacovara, I could go on with this particular conversation for another 2 or 3 days, but I thank you for being with us. It's a wonderful thing to have a guy with your background who knows so much about the courts and who has had so much to do with them to do it. And you're nice to go slumming with us.
And not at all.
And to talk to us. When we come back, I want to talk to you about a whole bunch of political things. Thanks.
Okay.